Hello and welcome, everyone. This is Deanna Mayo, and you are on with me live. We're watching the recording of You Don't Have to Do It Yourself, Delegating Smartly to Free Up Your Time and Get Better Results. I'm so glad that you're here with me today. We're going to have a great time, and we're going to learn a lot as well. A couple of housekeeping things as we get started. I'm going to recommend that you close other programs so that you don't have any distractions. I know it's really easy to get distracted. And if you have a hardline internet connection, that's great, but wireless will work too. Please interact with me in the chat and participate. That's a great way to get the learning anchored into your brain. And I'm also going to recommend that you... I'm going to leave everyone muted for right now. And if you want to unmute yourself and participate in the discussion, I'll let you know when you have the mic, and you can press star 6 to do that, or I may unmute some people here and there to increase the conversation. So before we kick in, if you can hear me and you're excited to be here, or one or the other, please use the chat box to say something like, I'm here, or I'm ready, to let me know. I'd really appreciate knowing that you can hear me just fine. I see you're talking, Christina, but I can't hear you, so give me a second.
Oh, you can see my face? I like to turn that off.
I can't see your face. I can only see that you were talking.
Oh, hi. I just got here.
I'm glad you're here. I'm going to go ahead and mute your voice for now. And just know, yeah, your camera's not on, so I can't see you.
Okay, good. Are you muting me, or do you want me to mute myself?
I've got you muted now.
Okay, good.
Okay. So let's get started, shall we? For those of you that are new to the Zoom conference system, we do have a chat, a group chat, and it can be particularly fun and enlivening for the program. All you need to do is you'll see the chat icon in your Zoom conference toolbar. You pop that open, and then you can just chat away. You can send a message to everyone, or you can send a message directly to me as well. So you can use that during our time together today. And I think it's time for us to get started, shall we? Yay! I'm so excited. I love, love, love this topic. I mean, clearly, I have to love it if I'm going to name my business Delegated to Done, right? I absolutely love delegating, and it's not just because I'm lazy and I don't want to do work that I don't like to do. It's also because I know that delegating is an amazing tool to develop other people on my team, give them purpose and meaning towards our work, and to help them earn a living. So let's start with a quick chat question to get us engaged. Those of you that are unable to chat because maybe you're just joining us by phone and you're not at your computer, that's fine too. Or if you're listening to the recording, I'd love for you to play along. The more you participate, the more you're going to remember, the more you remember, the more you're able to actually put into action in your business. So we're going to start by seeing and having you really reflect on your current experience with delegating. Using the chat, I'd like you to answer the question, when was the last time you delegated a task or an assignment? So was it today? Was it yesterday? Maybe last week? 2 months ago? Never have delegated? Christina says today. Awesome. Good. Just kind of want to get a sense of where we're at. And, you know, if you manage people, delegating is probably something you do regularly. If you're not, you're probably drowning in work. And the techniques we're going to discuss today should help you to delegate more effectively. So for the purposes of our time together today, I want to introduce the concept of a theme. And that theme is, you know, about delegation metaphorically. So just go with me here. I promise it'll be good and worthwhile. It's like the growth of a stand of trees. So the manager is the tallest, the most mature tree in the stand. A manager who refuses or neglects to delegate is like a tree whose branches are spreading so much and they're so thick that they block out the sun, stunting the younger trees around them. A manager who delegates, on the other hand, is like a tree whose canopy lets light through, so that the younger growth around it can flourish. So for the purposes of our time together today, we are going to have a dual focus. How do we get the job done well and allow people to grow? That's really what we're talking about. And, you know, it's whether you work next to them in your office or across the world from them. These tools, these techniques, this system I'm going to share with you is going to work regardless. You may have never even met your team member face-to-face. Most of the people on my team I've never met face-to-face, and this works. So keep that in mind. So our learning goals for today are to specify what kinds of work you want to delegate and why, how to choose the right person to delegate to, using a model for successful delegation, and identifying your strengths and areas for possible improvement. So to get started here, what I'd like to do is have us use the chat and engage with each other, since this is supposed to be interactive. You can't just hide behind the screen. I want to know, when was the last time, here's what I'd really like to know. I know, like, an example of the work you've recently delegated or work that has been delegated to you. So if you could just pop that into the chat box. And if you are, of course, joining us by the recording, please play along. You'll get more out of it. So work, an example of work that you recently delegated or that was delegated to you. My tea today is quite good. Yum. Let's see. Jeannie's here. Hi, Jeannie. She said website work, entreport work. Christina said lead pages. So there's a theme there, isn't there? Technology-based delegating. Awesome. Very good. Now, I'd like to know, from your opinion, how that delegation's going. You can answer in the same chat window. And just keep your answer simple. You know, for example, it's going well, could be better, not going well. Christina says, well. Jeannie says it went well. Great. Well, it's not unusual for delegations to get off track if it's not handled thoughtfully. Christina says some social media is not going well, some social media delegation. And Jeannie said she was thrilled not to have to do it herself. Awesome. So I have a story I want to share with you. One of my clients came to me with it. And I think stories are a great way for us to learn. So she said she once was delegated the responsibility of setting up a virtual conference for about 100 people, mostly outside of her organization. And they didn't have a web conferencing platform. So that needed to be arranged. But she wasn't given the authority to license the platform. And she didn't have the authority to bring in other staff to help her work on the project. She worked remotely for her boss, who had delegated the task to her, and he didn't respond to her emails or phone calls until the deadlines were so close that they pretty much had an emergency on their hands. And she was finally able to get everything pulled together, and the conference came off okay, but it wasn't as smooth as she would have liked, and it was very stressful. I'm sure you can relate. And if you can't relate because you've never been delegated to, here's my promise to you. There are people on your team who have felt similarly about work that you've delegated to them. So to help us get a better outcome first, let's make sure we understand what we mean by delegation. A lot of people throw this word around, and I want to make sure we're just starting on a level playing field. So delegation is sharing authority and work with others in order to accomplish organizational goals and to help people develop. Everything on your desk is an opportunity for you to ask yourself whether it's something that can be delegated or not. And do you have someone who can take on the task or be trained to do so? So delegation means sharing work and the resources and authority to get the job done. And delegation can fail if the manager does not assign the resources and the authority necessary to complete the job. You can probably see quite clearly that this is the primary stumbling block in the example that I shared. It's not abdicating all responsibility for the task and then just walking away, which I know many, many managers wish that's what it was. The delegating manager, you, are still ultimately responsible for seeing that the desired results are produced. So delegation can fail if there are no checkpoints to make sure the work is getting done well and on time. And no doubt you can see that this was the secondary stumbling block in my example. So how do we avoid these pitfalls then? Well, I have a 5-step model for the delegation process that I'm going to share with you today. The first step is planning the delegation. The second is choosing the person to delegate to. The third is actually making the delegation. The fourth is following up and monitoring. And the last step is wrapping up the delegated assignment after it's finished. So if you have your participant guide, awesome. If you don't, that's okay. I have a link for you in the chat box. And you can absolutely still participate in today's program if you don't have it. But if you do, go ahead and turn to page 3 for me. We're going to complete a self-assessment based on your current delegation effectiveness. This will give you a really good baseline about your current delegation practices. And you're going to see where you're strong and where you can improve those delegation practices. So I'm going to give you a second to do that. If you don't have the participant guide, no worries. I would like to give you some thoughts on what those, truth is, you probably know your strengths and weaknesses. Go ahead and jot down what you're doing well and what can maybe be improved upon on just a piece of paper or a pencil, piece of paper with a pencil or pen, and we'll come back together in a second after you've finished. No worries, Jeannie. I'm going to copy the link for you so you can at least download it for later, and that's going to go in the chat box. So everyone, I just put the you want to just make note of some of your delegation strengths and some areas where you know you could probably improve. So yeah, you don't have to have the participant guide. It's not a problem at all. And Christina says, I have the page 3. Fill out page 3. Yeah. Fill out page 3. While you're doing that, I'm going to take a sip of my tea. It's delicious. Okay. So now that you've had a chance to just think about your delegation strengths and areas for opportunity, I'd love for you to share your greatest challenge with delegating in the chat window. And I'll be quiet for a couple minutes while you do that. So what would you say is your greatest area of challenge when it comes to delegating? Christina says deadlines are a big challenge. Jeannie says it's often making the delegation clear so someone can easily follow it. Well, you guys are in such good company. These are very common. So either we find we're not setting a clear deadline or people aren't meeting them, or that the deadline that we're setting is actually pretty accurate, right? Like, is it actually realistic to get it done? And Christina says, I always want it right away, but I know that's not realistic. You know, here's when it's realistic. If you have someone who's 40 hours a week, 24/7, or something like that to your business, you pay for the access to them, right? But for most of us, that's not realistic. We don't have full-time employees that can be dedicated to our work. So Christina also says not all the info is known up front. Yeah. So in those cases, you may choose to have them find the info or put together a sample so that you can start to refine your ideas. We'll talk about that a little bit more over our time together today. Awesome. Great work, everybody. So none of us are perfect. Not me, not you, none of us are, neither are our team members. So we can expect that delegation deficiencies will occur. What do you think the clues are that an organization or a manager is suffering from delegation deficiency? What are some of the, like if I put the mute button on watching your business during the day and I could just see what was happening. What do you think some of the clues are that would let me know that delegations aren't happening as effectively as they could be? Go ahead and put that into the chat box for me. Christina says she's not sure. That's fine. You can be not sure. I just sort of started by saying no one's perfect, so it's okay not to know the answer. I'm going to tell you. How about that? Ooh, I got a frog in my throat. Excuse me. Much better. Okay, so let's talk about some of the signs that delegation is deficient or ineffective in your business. Jeannie says, sorry, multitasking. So I don't know if that you meant that multitasking is a sign of delegation deficiency or you are multitasking and that's why I didn't respond, but either way, it's totally okay. So some delegation deficiency. Your staff and you are slow to make decisions. Your managers or you may not be spending enough time on high profile work, high priority work. Deadlines are missed. People aren't as productive as they could be. And this is one that you don't always think about, but your team's not ready for promotion. Now, most of us are running pretty small businesses, but aren't there times when you'd love for someone to be able to take on something new and maybe they're not really ready for it? This is a sign that delegation is deficient, and that's because delegating can be an amazing way to develop your team. So let's talk a little bit about the benefits of delegating. I feel like it's obvious, but I've learned as a trainer that what I think is obvious isn't so obvious to everyone else, and I'd love to hear from you. So here's what we're going to do. We have a small group today, and let's see, if you are, this is perfect. Okay, so Jeannie's last name starts with a G. Jeannie, I'd like you to brainstorm some of the benefits to the entire company when delegating is being done well. And Christina, because your last name starts with an H, I'd like you to tell us or brainstorm some of the benefits to the manager of when delegating is being done well in an organization. Go ahead and put those into the chat box for me now. Man, I just can't stop drinking this. It's so good. I put a little drop of peppermint oil in there. Feels really good in the sinuses. That's probably a little bit too much information, but now you know I'm a real human being and think about stuff like that. All right, great. So Christina says, work gets done. Yeah, and that's a huge benefit for the manager, right? Because otherwise, we're not creating results that we want in our organization if the work's not getting completed. Jeannie says, projects are moving forward instead of being bogged down. Yeah, so that's the thing with projects, right? They're often things that will improve the business going forward. They're not urgent. They don't need to be done today, but they are important, right? Urgent being calling for my immediate attention, like the phone ringing is urgent. Important being that the other person on the other line is, you know, my mom. That would be important. If it's a solicitor, that would not be important, right? Jeannie says, yeah, when delegating's happening well in an organization, one person's not overwhelmed. It's true. Now, we can have overwhelm for other reasons in our businesses because maybe the workload for one individual person's too much and everyone's at that level. But when you have one person you delegate to all the time or you're keeping most of the work yourself, well, then it's easy to get overwhelmed. Nice work, everybody. So for the company, some of the benefits you can expect are greater productivity, right? So more work getting done in less time, faster decisions, more versatile and adaptable team. You've got a team that's more ready for development and for promotion. You may have, you're probably definitely going to have higher retention and higher morale when you're delegating to people with the idea of developing them in mind. And you as the management team can be more focused on the strategic priorities of the company instead of the day-to-day. For managers, well, certainly reduced workload, right? If I can delegate something off of my plate, someone on my team, now I have some available time for higher priority work. My stress level goes down. I have a more skilled and versatile team, less turnover, and I've got a larger pool of people to call upon when I do need work done because I've been developing them through delegations all along. Now, oftentimes we don't think about the benefits to our team members when we delegate, but there are some, right? So higher morale definitely happens. We have an opportunity as the team members to learn new skills, and we increase our likelihood of promotion, whether that be job title, more money, both. And we get a greater sense of self-worth when we're delegated to. Let that just sink in for a second. If the organization is delegating strongly, delegating smartly, I, as the person being delegated to, get a stronger sense of worth. Don't we want that for our teams? I mean, don't we all want that? Feel good about ourselves to know that we're contributing to something that's important? Yeah, cool stuff. So delegating is a key way to develop and keep good people. So now let's look at how to actually carry out the delegation step by step. Looking at our process, the first step is deciding what to delegate. And this is one of the most important decisions made by a manager. It's imperative for you to separate the work that you must do from the work that can be shared with your team. And many managers hang on to way too much work. And the reality is that a great deal can be delegated in whole or at least in part. So being aware that there are different kinds of delegations you can make, that's going to change with the circumstances, right? Delegation is not a one-time decision, but an ongoing process that should keep pace with the company's goals and your team's capabilities. So there are two critical questions, deciding whether to delegate or keep a task or project for yourself. And these are the things that I ask myself on a regular basis. So the first is to decide if this is an important or strategic aspect of your job. You probably don't want to delegate those things to someone else, right? So as CEO of my business, albeit I have a small team right now, I'm supposed to focus on the vision and the strategy for the company. I can't do that when I'm doing data entry. Not to mention, I'm not very good at data entry. The second is to decide whether any of your staff are better able to perform the work. Now remember, you won't have time to perform strategic planning if you haven't delegated details to your team. So we're going to do a little, play a little game now. Sometimes it's easier to decide whether to keep or delegate, and sometimes it's not. So we're going to review some examples of work that you might delegate or keep, and I want you to vote in the chat box. And if you care to, explain in the chat window why you made the choice you did. So the first task that we're going to use in our game, keep or delegate, is the strategic plan for your unit or your team. Should you keep or delegate that? Christina says keep. Yep. Jeannie says keep. You guys are right on track. Generally, you're going to want to keep work that's critical and where you have the ultimate responsibility. Christine asks, what does unit mean? Some companies call the people they work with a team. In bigger organizations, they might say department. So just kind of put unit there. All right, let's hear our second example. Researching software needs. Should you keep or delegate that? Jeannie says delegate. Christina says delegate. You guys are rock stars. Yeah, this most likely can be delegated. However, if it's a major and a very costly project, you might wish to keep or share the project with someone else. Let's look next at a project your boss asked you to do. Well, neither one of you have bosses, so we're going to move past that one. Okay, how about this? Should you keep or delegate resolving a conflict between two team members or two employees? Christina says keep. Jeannie says delegate. Great. So if this is a serious matter, especially one that might expose you to some sort of liability or a major investigation, you should probably get involved if and only if you don't have an HR team. And since I know neither one of you have like full-time HR, then this is probably something you want to keep. However, for smaller conflicts, you may wish to keep handling it, having them handle it. And Jeannie says they should deal with it first before I get involved. Ideally, yeah, absolutely. The kind of conflict where resolution helps people grow definitely is your responsibility, but that doesn't mean you have to always step in. You just need to keep your eye on it and make sure that it is, in fact, getting resolved instead of all those negative feelings just getting bottled down and not dealt with. All right, let's look at our next example, planning the annual team or department retreat. Do you need to do this? Can you delegate some of it? Jeannie says delegate. Christina says delegate. Man, you guys are awesome. You should probably delegate some or all of this task. The limits on the delegation would need to be clear, right? Like budget, how far away you want the retreat location from your home or office. But yeah, absolutely. All right, last question for now. Should you keep or delegate orienting new team members, new employees? Christina says this is a tricky one. It is. She says she thinks delegate. So it is a trick question in a sense. So you might decide to keep the orienting of new employees to the high points for yourself. Job expectations, company culture, while things like accessing your files on Dropbox, smaller details could be left to other members of your team. Christina said baby birds need to bond. It's true. They do need to bond with you. And as your team gets bigger and bigger, they also need to bond with whoever they're directly reporting to, which someday may not be you. So you want to make sure that they're building relationships with the entire team and not just you. This is what happens. So many of you are familiar with this idea of delegating looking like this. I'm going to draw a little picture for us here. So don't judge my negative drawing abilities. All right, so this is a wheel, and you're in the middle, and our delegations go like this, out to the members of our team who are here, right? And that's what it looks like for most people. What we want to try to avoid is that, because there's no connection between the members of our team then. They can't support each other. They can't rely on each other. They can't build relationships with each other. So ultimately, what you want to have is that everyone has some sort of connection. Now, maybe it's just, you know, a quick introductory phone call. They learn a little bit about each other, what they're doing in the role, what they're going to be responsible for. But then you can go on vacation and you can say, you know, if you have a question, reach out to this other person first. They may know. And if you're doing a good job orienting your employees, they can generally answer a lot of questions without you, or at the very least, come to you with their question and say, I think this is the answer. This is what I'm going to propose we do instead. Neat, huh? All right. Let's see here. I'm going to get back to our PowerPoint slide. Okay. Nice work, everyone. So second step in our delegating process is deciding who the person is that we should delegate to. Now, there are a number of issues to consider when selecting the right person for the delegation. Who needs more development? I know oftentimes we don't think about that, but it can be so useful and helpful for your team if you're really delegating to someone who needs development. Who needs the morale boost that a new assignment would give them? Who needs more versatile skills? Who's underutilized? Who has the most interest in doing the task? And who's most experienced with this type of work? Notice who's most experienced is the last question on the list to think of. I'm not saying you can always delegate to the person who needs the most development, right? Because timelines might be tight. But if you have the time, you could chunk out part of the work to someone who needs development and some of it to the person who's most experienced. Christina says the key is knowing who wants development. You could ask them. Those weekly one-to-ones that I recommend that you do, or twice monthly if you have part-time team members, those, you know, that last third of that meeting typically is spent on their future, their development and growth, whether it be with you or not. And that should be something that you should know. How can you tell if someone's coachable? Ooh, that's probably bigger than the scope of our conversation for the day. But the fact is, if you hired them, they either want to develop and grow or they don't. And if you present the delegation in a way that it's going to be, that you're connecting the dots for them between this is the task and here's how it's going to develop you and grow, they're going to let you know for sure. Anyway, we can get into that a little bit more. So before I asked you to think of a current task or project that you recently delegated. I'd like you to think now of something that you would like to delegate that you haven't yet. In the chat box, what I'd like you to tell me is, what do you think the most relevant question is for you of the ones I have on the screen here? When it comes to this task that you're considering, which question do you think is the most relevant for you to be asking yourself? Boy, I'm so thirsty. Christina says, who has the most interest? That's a good one. Really, you can't get wrong asking yourself all of these things every time you get ready to delegate something. And if you're doing it right, you're delegating it once, and then it becomes that person's responsibility. You're not delegating it, you know, every week or something like that. All right, so in choosing who you're going to delegate to, you're going to often be balancing the near-term need of getting it done fast and quickly as possible with the longer-term needs of building your staff and your team skills, right? Sometimes you're going to pick the most experienced person because there's no time for that learning curve, and failure can't be an option. Other times you're going to decide to assign the work to a less experienced person, but someone who's capable with a little bit of development, so that you can help them to expand their skills. Nice work, everyone. Third step in our process is making or communicating the delegation. Now notice, this is where we actually do the delegating, and it's really step three in our process. That's because we have to be prepared before we come into this step with knowing what it is and who we're gonna delegate it to. So I'm curious to know from your perspective, being that you know, everyone paying attention now, everyone watching live or on the recording has delegated before. What might make delegating more complicated when the person being delegated to is not in the same location as you? I know lots of us work with remote team members. What do you think makes it more complicated when that person is remote? Christina says, you can't wave your arms. It's true. Normally, we have this idea, right? Like, oh, I probably should get that done. But they're not here right now. So then I have to go through the effort of like writing it down or calling them. And Christina says, you also can't get eyeball confirmation. That's right, you can't. And you can't tell if they get it. Absolutely. So some other responses might be, it's difficult to see if the work's actually getting done. It's hard to tell if it's proceeding on schedule. You can't check all that facial expression, body language during the check-ins to know. And of course, you know, nonverbal communication, our face, our body language, makes up about 70% of the message we're sending. So when we're working remotely with someone, we're missing out on all of that. So I want to share with you a three-step process for making the delegation so that we can reduce your risk and increase your odds of success. It is explaining what needs to be done, involving the team member by getting their input, and obtaining their commitment. So let's look at these three steps more in depth. When you explain the delegation, you need to describe the assignment, including the importance of it. So even if it feels like to you it's not very important, like data entry, the truth is if that data isn't entered into your system correctly, you're not going to be able to follow up with those leads. And if you can't follow up with those leads, you can't close sales. So it's actually very important. You want to explain the benefits to the employee. So taking this task on, what are the benefits to them? Specify any goals, results, and completion dates that you've identified. Include procedure or steps if needed. And then specify the degree of authority and resources that they have available to them. Let's see how you might incorporate these points into explaining a specific delegation. Here's an example of a very complete explanation. Alan, I'd like to get your help to prepare the survey results for our fall survey. We will create a white paper featuring these results and then send it to 500 current or prospective clients. I thought you might enjoy tackling this task because it will allow you to analyze and organize the data using Excel. I'd like to cut the data several ways, not just display the overall results. You'll be able to download the survey results in 2 weeks, and I'll need to have your first pass at the data 2 weeks after that. You'll be accessing survey online to get the final results, so you'll need to coordinate with Tom to get the user account information. Once you download the data, please delete any unnecessary fields in the spreadsheet. I'll review your organization of the data and make any suggestions that I have. Then I'll write up conclusions and recommendations and pass it back to you for you to complete the final white paper. Thorough, right? And the odds of success for this person just shot right up. So now that we've explained our task or our project, we need to involve the employee or the team member. So what I like to do is ask them to summarize, encourage questions, be open to input, and then involve them in problem solving. So using the chat window, I'd love for you to share your thoughts on what you would gain by allowing involvement right from the first conversation or right from the first delegation. What do you think the benefit to you is? So Jeannie says they'll be more clear on the project and engaged in it. Absolutely. And Christina says you see from their perspective. Yeah, right? This helps clear out a lot of misunderstandings right from the get-go. It is critical to the success of the delegation that you obtain their buy-in. You get their ideas because they may have an idea to make it go faster and easier or less expensive than you know about. And that you ensure that they understand what needs to get done, right? That's probably the most critical piece. So here's an example of what it might sound like. So just to be sure that we're on the same page, would you review this assignment with me in your own words? What questions or ideas do you have about this assignment? How do you think you'll lay out the final report? What thoughts do you have about how we could display the data using compelling graphics or visuals? Now notice, I didn't say, do you have questions about this assignment? That's a closed-ended question. The only two answers are yes and no. Instead, you ask, what questions do you have? Open-ended questions here are really important because I can just say, nope, I don't have any questions, I'm gonna get started. And I really don't know what is in that person's head. But if I say, what questions do you have? It encourages a dialogue and for them to be more thoughtful about responding. All right, now that we've involved them, we're gonna get their commitment. In the commitment step, you agree on the goals, deadlines, the results, the authority, and the resources available. You agree on the follow-up process, and you affirm your confidence in them. This is such an important step. So here's what it might sound like in our fake example around the creation of the white paper. So to confirm our agreement, you'll download the data in 2 weeks when the survey closes. You'll work with Tom to get the user account access to the survey online tool. Then you'll take 2 weeks to organize and analyze the spreadsheet. You'll consult me if you have any questions about how to cut the data. And you'll give me your first pass at the data summary 4 weeks from today. I'll review your results and write up a conclusion and recommendation. I'll also indicate where I want to see bar charts and other graphics. You'll prepare the final white paper using PowerPoint so we can include those graphics and bar charts for the appropriate data. Is there anything else you'll need? Why don't we talk again in 2 weeks when the survey closes? Then the final piece. Alan, I think this is going to be a great project for you to take on. Your analytical skills are top-notch. You're very comfortable with Excel and PowerPoint, and I really look forward to seeing your report. Your efforts are going to help us to get a high-quality white paper out to our clients by the deadline. Now, if you were on the receiving end of that, and you were Alan in our example, You would be so psyched to get started on this project because you know how it's going to impact the larger organization. Cool, huh? All right, so now we are at step four in our process. And I have to tell you, this is the one that I feel like people miss the most. Following up and monitoring. After making a delegation, we sometimes have this out of sight, out of mind tendency. That is not smart delegating because following up is essential for success. So what are some things you should do when following up? I'd love to hear in the chat box, or if you want to unmute your phone line and talk with me and tell me what you think some of them are, I'd love to hear your suggestions. Christina says, ask how it's going. I like that question. I'm going to tweak it just slightly because if you ask me how it's going, I'll say, fine, great. Instead, I might say, describe your progress for me. What have you completed so far? What's next for you? Right. Is there any input you need from me? Nice, that's good. Jeannie says she likes that. Yeah, again, I would probably just change it to say, what input do you need from me? Not, is there any? Because what input inspires them to think about it and come back to me. Jeannie says, I never check in. I just expect to get it done. I love you. That's not good. Yeah, I would make an appointment to check in, or I would let them know that I expect an update by a certain time. So in our example, if I go back to the script for confirming with Alan, it says, why don't we talk again in 2 weeks when the survey closes? So depending on the nature of the project, you may need a verbal check-in with the person. It could also be that you just expect to get an update because you use a certain project management system like Teamwork PM, like I use, and I let them know that I'm waiting for an update. I also just really like them to know that I'm looking for an update. So one thing that I've done, if you're delegating by email, or even if you're just following up with a conversation by email, I use a tool called Boomerang. I think that's the right spelling. And it allows me to set a follow-up to an email, like just using my Gmail. So what I'll do is I'll say, okay, we're going to follow up in 2 weeks. And so I set it up so that that email in 2 weeks comes to the top of my inbox again to ping me and remind me. And I can actually even set it up so that regardless of whether they've replied, it'll come back to the top of the inbox, or I can say only bring it to the top of the inbox if I haven't got a reply from them. It's kind of neat. You would prefer, Christina says, I expect them to follow up with me. I would prefer that they follow up with me. I hate chasing people. Yeah, I you need to just change your thought process around. It's not chasing them. It's a check-in to see how else you can support them in being successful. It's just a different mind game you're playing with yourself there, right? But it's not chasing them if you are checking in to see how else you can help them. So if you want them to check in with you, that's fine. You let them know, I expect you to send me a progress report by July 20th at 12 noon Pacific. But if they don't do it, you have to be ready to come to them and say, look, I asked you to do this and you didn't do it. You have to start correcting the behavior. And the good news is I'm going to be teaching my method for how to correct that behavior in next week's webinar, Fast Tracking Performance. So you can stay tuned for that. Yeah, I like that, Christina. I expect that you will check in with me by and a date. And usually I like to say by a certain time on that day too, because I go offline earlier than my team usually does. Like I'm done with my workday by 4 p.m. usually, so that's important to include as well. All right, so here are some follow-up do's. You want to establish check-in points. You want to track their progress towards results. I really encourage you to respect their methods. So they may go about doing the work differently than you would, but if they're creating the same result at the end, then it shouldn't matter. Ask to be told about problems before they mushroom. Provide feedback and coaching for them as they need it, and have a contingency plan always. So if you need to have this white paper done by July 30th, Your real deadline to this person should be a couple of days beforehand, just in case. I know it's not fun to think about contingency, but it's important to have that in place. Now, here's a question. Most of you are working with people remotely. So how would you follow up effectively if you have delegated to a person who doesn't work in your office? What ideas do you have for how you could do that? Go ahead and put them into the chat box for me now. Christina says, I expect that you will check in with me, email, chat, call me, email, phone call. Nice. Good job, everybody. Yep. Awesome. So now let's talk about what you don't want to do when following up. I've got some don'ts for you. They are to resist interfering, don't solve the problems yourself, don't let the employee delegate the work back to you. That's called reverse delegation, and it's a big no-no. And don't take the work back except when failure can't be tolerated. So it's particularly important to not take the delegation back unless it's absolutely necessary. Part of the purpose of delegating is to promote their growth, and this won't be accomplished if you take back the work as soon as the difficulties occur. Of course, you have to be mindful of situations when failure can't be tolerated. You know, you don't want to put your business at risk, but you want to try to avoid that. And Jeannie says, I've done all of those don'ts. You're not alone, my friend. It's very easy to say, oh, especially because we love taking care of our team. We love helping them, right? But if we could just provide a little bit of coaching, a little bit of problem-solving help, and they can keep it, they're going to be more empowered when it's all over instead of us taking it, you know, jumping in and rescuing them from it. All right. Fifth step in the process, often the one that's forgotten the most, is following up and wrapping it up after it's completed. So letting up at this point prevents both the manager and the team member from realizing the full benefit of the delegation process. This is where you really get the biggest bang for your buck. And that's because when you come into the steps of this process, you review the performance, praise and reward, and complete a self-review for you as the delegator. So by reviewing with the employee that their performance of the assignment was good, bad, could be improved, etc., you're going to be able to see if there are any loose ends that need attention. More importantly, you can seize a coaching opportunity. You can help them to deepen and extend what they learned on the assignment, and this is going to strengthen their performance for the future. You want to make sure that you provide ample praise and recognition. Even if the delegation was not totally successful, praise them for what they did well. Remember to update any notes that you have if you're keeping track of, you know, the successes that they've had, and maybe you're preparing to have some sort of salary review process with them. So you want to keep those notes. And then finally, the delegation review session is also an important opportunity for you to get feedback on how to improve your delegating process. You know, what did you do well and what could you improve? So what can you do to make sure that this frequently overlooked step happens? I'd like to have you share your thoughts in the chat window with me. Okay, bye, Christina. Christina said she has to leave us. She's getting ready to teach. Awesome. Have a great time. You're going to be amazing. Bye. So one thing I like to do when we delegate tasks, we use Teamwork PM and we close those tasks. So what I like to do is go back every so often. I probably should do it once a week, but I don't, a lot of things are on autopilot with my team right now, so I don't have to do new delegations very often. And I just go back and look at that list of completed tasks for them, and then I make sure that I'm doing a wrap up with the team member and with myself around each of those tasks. Now, we've got a delegation planning worksheet for you in the participant guide that you can use to plan future delegations, any ones that you make. I hope you find that valuable and useful. I know I certainly have. You can print out as many of them as you like, and you could write them on, or you could create one for yourself in, you know, some sort of tool like Word or Excel or something. Let's see. Janie says, I rarely look at a self-review. That's valuable. I'm glad you think so. Awesome. So we're getting ready to wrap up for today. This is actually, you know, believe it or not, it's a really short model. It's not complicated. It's not rocket science. It's just making sure that you include each of these steps, because when you take one out, it's like taking out part of the foundation of a pyramid, right? If I take out a block at the bottom, the whole thing's probably going to collapse. So going back to our tree analogy, I want you to think about what you've learned today. And I'd like you to just share with me one thing in the chat window that really rose to the top for you. It was either a good reminder or maybe a spin on something new that you'd like to start doing or stop doing when you delegate. Jeannie says, expect them to check in with me. Yeah. It's hard to expect that if you don't share with them that you have that expectation. You know, it's like it's obvious to us. Of course we'd check in, but not always so obvious to everybody else. So just setting the expectation from the get-go is really good. Awesome. All right, everyone. That is the end of our learning for today. What I want to share with you is that I am going to be teaching my tools for fast-tracking performance, what to do after misunderstandings, missteps, and mistakes to get your team back on track next week, July 27th at 11 a.m. Pacific. So same bat time, same bat channel. I'm going to be sharing with you why mistakes and misunderstandings are made. So if you go through this delegation process, you're definitely going to reduce the risk of a problem. However, they still happen. I'm going to share with you why they happen, what do you do instead when things go wrong versus what you're probably doing now, which isn't working, how to give feedback and get that person back on track and give it in such a way that they actually are willing to hear you and take it in instead of getting defensive and shutting down, and how do you really create a true change in their behavior or getting better results. Plus, I'm going to be giving you my fast-tracking performance conversation guide. So just like I mapped out delegating for you in 5 steps, I'm going to be mapping out how do you have these conversations to get your person back onto fast performance, quality performance, in just 6 simple steps. You can register now for just $97. After the day of the program goes live, it's going to go up to $147, so you want to get that, you know, register for that right away. And you can get that at delegatedtodone.com/supercharge your team. Actually, I lied. It's not www.delegatedtodone. It's now.delegatedtodone.com/supercharge your team. And I just put the link into the chat box for you. I'll make sure it's in your follow-up email to today's program as well. So with that, thank you for being here today. I hope that the delegation techniques I've shared with you will help to improve your delegations. I know that they're going to free up your time and help your employees and team members to feel more like a part of the business, especially when they work remotely, and that they're making an impact with the work that they're doing for your business as well. Until the next time, take good care, and I'll see you soon. Bye.